Thanks for listening to the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
It is the Odd Couple. I am Chris. He is Rob. We're coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios on this funky Flashback Friday. And you can catch us also on social media. Rob is at RobParkerFS1 on both Twitter and Instagram. I am at Chris_Broussard on Twitter. ChrisBroussard68 on the gram. So you can check us out there. At the bottom of the hour, the man of the hour, too sweet to be sour, DJ Alex Tyshirt Reigns.
Where are you getting all that radio DJ stuff? Too sweet, the man of the hour, too sweet to be sour.
I mean, you know I used to rhyme. I used to be an MC. E-M-C-E-E.
Wow. Yeah, okay.
I did in college.
Everybody
high
was
school,
an
I
MC
rocked
back
the mic.
Then. Everybody was. Yeah, okay.
I was nice too. But anyway, it'll be Tyshirt's Tower of Trivia. He will join us at the bottom of the hour. That's a fun show. I've won the last few, but Rob gets one in here and there. So it'll be a lot of fun.
I just think a lot of cheating is going on, but it's okay.
How? I just come up with creative ways to give my clues, and you copy them.
No, I don't. I give Alex these greatest clues.
I think we should make that a rule.
No.
If somebody comes up with an innovative way, the other person can't bite. Like, I came up with saying how I say it, right? The tone. Like, purple... Like, whatever. That you can't
rain.
Do that now. You right. There it is. There
and
it
I
is.
I come up with sophisticated clues that if Alex was going to be a contestant on Jeopardy, he would fail. Because I'm giving you good stuff, Alex. You got to think outside the box when you're talking to me.
I'm trying, but after, you know, Aaron Rodgers' appearance, it's hard to follow that, Rob.
You know, but you can't. But Chris... is elementary. I'm like, I got a master's degree. You got to
follow.
So
you're articulate, are you?
I'm going to give you this, right? You have come up. I will say this. I think I may have won more, but you have, I would say you, honestly, you have had the better clues. Like, you've probably had the two or three best clues of the segment.
Alex,
I will
you don't
give
think
you that.
So?
But I'm
Alex?
About winning. See, I mean, call me elementary. Call me rudimentary. Call me basic. I'm about winning. I'm like buckets. You want to dribble between the legs, you know, go by your man and come back, go behind the back. I'm about buckets.
Okay, can we
period.
Look? Stop the show. Stop the show. Here we go. A minute ago, Chris gave a big thing about how he'd rather be Kobe and because he's
yes.
flashy, and Tim Duncan is just standard and he just gets the job done. And now he's saying in this game he wants to be Tim Duncan and he don't
different
care
game.
About being flashy. It's just amazing. You're
but
all
why.
Over the place, Chris
no,
Broussard. You're all over
the place. I have an explanation. I have an explanation.
You're a flip-flopper.
When winning matters, then I just win, baby. Like Al Davis, I just win, baby. But they both won. They both have 5 championships. So winning was out of the picture. You both won. So that's no longer a factor.
No,
now I'm going for the gusto. I'm going for the flash and all that. The
Chris,
style.
This is what
but
you sound like.
But when winning matters, I'm going for the wins.
This is what you sound like.
You
right
can
now.
Flop that and you can flip this. You may flip, you may flop, or you may flip flop.
Thank you.
Is that Bob Barker?
That's Rob Parker. What you mean?
All I know is last year in the NFL, I was with Tampa Bay the whole route, whole way through. And Rob went with New Orleans at the beginning of the year and then Green Bay in the playoffs. So that, I don't know, flip-flopping. I mean, I'm just saying.
The last 2 years, who won the football bets?
Me.
I did.
No,
during the regular season, I beat you the last 2 years. Yes, I did.
This year, I don't even know what happened.
Yes.
What happened to our betting this year? We got way off track. Remember that? Somehow it went awry. Remember that? Because we stopped it. We lost. I think Rob G lost count, which was good for you. But
it wasn't
anyway.
Good for me.
Anyway, Rob, We will get Howard back maybe later, but apparently not this segment. But, Rob, let me throw
this at you. What's going on here? What happened to Howard Beck at 6 o'clock, 9 o'clock?
Ask Rob G. Rob G?
He's just not answering, but hopefully we'll get him here maybe next segment.
Okay.
Wow. All right, so.
When he calls in, tell him no thank you, okay?
Rob, we talked earlier about the Lakers and how they need time on the floor together. But yet we both like the Nets. And look. They're attempting to do something that no one in the history of the NBA has done, which is come together having played, hopefully, 9 regular season games. And that's a question, because, Rob, don't they play Sunday as well? I think they're they play back-to-back. So
if they win, they might not even play
right,
Sunday.
The idea of them both, all three of their stars, Kyrie Irving,
Kevin
Durant.
Unless Philly loses or something. Chris, if you had a chance to – If Philly loses again, right, they would be tied, and then the last day would be – Philly has a tiebreaker.
If you're asking me if I was the Nets and I had the chance to get the first seed, I would go for it.
Okay.
Because I would rather – I would like to avoid Milwaukee. Not that you're afraid of them, but you know what I mean? If I don't have to go through Milwaukee and Philadelphia, then I'm doing that. As it stands right now, they're going to have to go through Milwaukee and Philadelphia to get to the finals, which is, you know, those are two really good teams. But I got something for you, Rob. Philadelphia right now, and I don't know if you saw last night, they got pushed around, slapped, punked by the Miami Heat. The Miami Heat, since Jimmy Butler's gotten there, and since he left Philadelphia, and you know Jimmy Butler holds grudges, he is 4-1 against Philadelphia, including 4 straight wins with Joel Embiid, Tobias Harris, and Ben Simmons playing all 5 of those games. He's 4-1 against them. And Joel Embiid had 2 games this season where he scored in single digits. Guess who both of them were against? Miami.
Okay.
So I'm saying I'm not predicting yet that Miami will beat Philadelphia in the second round. But I am saying that's going to be a heck of a – if they meet in the second round of the playoffs, that's going to be tough for Philly. That's going to be very tough for Philly. But let's get back to Brooklyn. Are you – again, Rob, if they play 8 or 9 games together, do you have any concerns about them in the playoffs having such little experience together?
No, I think those guys can mesh. I don't think it's like some you don't have like 3 really selfish guys where it's like, oh my God, what are you going to do? We've seen what Harden can do with each one of them. And we also know Kyrie's comfortable being where he is. And Kevin Durant, for as good as he is, can just adapt. He doesn't need the ball all the time. He could just catch and shoot it. You know, he don't have to dribble the air out of the ball and have the ball. I just think it can work from the standpoint that these 3 go together and they just have so much talent and they're really good shooters. You know, one could have an off night or you know what I mean, Chris? Right. Can all 3 of them have an off night together? Probably not. Not all 3. And right. I think that gives them, you know, that firepower that helps them a lot.
Do you agree with me that James Harden is the most important player on the team?
No, I mean, he's very important, and I'm not trying to poo-poo it, Chris, but if you tell me Kevin Durant suffered through a horrible shooting slump for 7 games, they're not winning. So I get what you're saying about Harden. I just think that Durant is the main cog on that team. I really believe that, even though – Does Harden make his job easier? Absolutely, Chris. Absolutely. But Kevin Durant, I think you need him to be Kevin Durant to win a championship.
I think right now, if you ranked those 3 guys historically, obviously you would have Kevin Durant ahead of James Harden. But I think James Harden is the most important player on that team. Just like I thought Steph Curry was the most important player on Golden State. even though Kevin Durant was the best player, Steph was the one teams were more often game planning for. Steph was the one that stretched the defense out so wide because they were picking him up so close to half court. Steph is the one that ran the opposing defenders ragged by moving so much without the ball. I thought he was the most important player. And in Brooklyn, I think it's definitely James Harden. I mean, they have a losing record, I believe, when it's just Durant and Kyrie. And they were 7-6 before Harden got there as far as when those two played.
Yeah, but I don't take stock in the regular season as if that's whatever you do in the regular season is going to be during the playoffs, because if that's the case, Milwaukee would have won two championships by now. So I'm not I hear what you're saying.
It doesn't always
I hear what you're saying, but it doesn't always.
Sometimes it does. Right. But not always. But the fact is that Durant has never, when he's been like the lead dog on the team, they haven't been able to win the championship. And he needs a facilitator. So in Golden State, you had Draymond, and obviously their offense was just very egalitarian and it facilitated for various players. Kyrie needs a facilitator. He won his championship when LeBron was there. When he was a facilitator in Cleveland before LeBron got there, granted, he was young. Team was horrible. When he went to Boston and was the facilitator, they were okay, but they underachieved. But in Brooklyn, he's a tremendous scorer, Kyrie. So when he's off the ball, for the most part, when James Harden is the guy, then he's in a perfect spot. When Durant is off the ball because Harden's the point and facilitating, Durant can go wild. He can go wild anyway, but he can go wild and win a lot. So I think those two need a facilitator. And when you got that much talent, Blake Griffin and others, you need somebody to distribute the ball to those guys. And that's why I think Harden is critical because we always think of him, Rob, as a scorer. Because of what he did in Houston. But that dude, he is elite. He is an elite level scorer and an elite level playmaker. And we've seen very few of those in NBA history. Magic was an elite playmaker, not an elite scorer. Good, really good scorer, but not an elite scorer. Jordan was an elite scorer, not an elite. He was a very good playmaker, not like an elite level playmaker. You know, I mean, we haven't seen it. Kobe's same thing. It's rare. Even Steph averages 30, but he's not that elite, ultra elite playmaker like James Harden. So we're watching something really special here. And let's just hope all these three guys stay healthy, Rob. All right, there's more Odd Couple coming your way. Keep it locked. Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
All right, it's The Odd Couple, Chris and Rob, coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. And our next guest, we've been telling you about him. He's finally here. He's a Sports Illustrated senior NBA writer, host of the Crossover Podcast, the guy that goes way back with both myself and Rob, our friend Howard Beck. What's up, Howard?
Howard.
What's happening, guys? How are you?
I am great, man. I am great. Let's get right to it. I know you're voting for these regular season awards, and I feel like this is a very tough year to vote because of all the injuries and all the missed games, and even some missed games just because of load management. Are you having the same challenges I am in that regard and trying to weigh, you know, how you put – where you put guys who have missed a lot of games and stuff?
It definitely made it difficult because, you know, when some of the best players in the game, several, in fact, of the best players in the game have all had lengthy injuries and missed a ton of games, it does. It makes it hard because – you know, there's a lot of deserving candidates, especially for something like All-NBA. There's certainly a lot of deserving candidates for MVP. But you do have to make tough calls, and games played is part of that. It absolutely is. Now, where is the cutoff? you know, that's eye of the beholder type stuff. Everybody's got to have their own assessment of how many games missed is too many games missed. I've kind of let history be the guide. I've looked up a lot of stuff like in the past just to see where the precedents are.
Right.
But you know, that's the way I look at it. But everybody will have their own, you know, way to judge.
How about the LaMelo Ball? Missed 21 games. I know a lot of people, I keep saying people think the Rookie of the Year is the guy who's going to have a great career, the best career down the road, not who played the best in their rookie season. Where are you on this award?
No, I mean, I think it's pretty clear. The Rookie of the Year is about what they did this season or what they did in their rookie year. It's not about who's going to have the long-term better career. I mean, that's silly. One, we don't know. And two,
right.
It's Rookie of the Year. So,
right.
You know, if LaMelo had never come back from that injury, which at the time we thought might be the case, then I think it would have been too many games missed. But he came back, and not only has he come back, but, you know, he's a incredibly key element of a team that is going to make the postseason. And, you know, he's, you know, a better all-around player than Anthony Edwards. And Anthony Edwards has had a phenomenal run, especially later in the season. But on balance, LaMelo's had the better overall season, even with the games missed.
21 you know, again, games is nothing to you? That's a third of the season.
It's not nothing. It's not enough to tip it in the direction of Anthony Edwards, given that what LaMelo has done has impacted winning. Now, I don't think winning is always the key thing on Rookie of the Year. It is
right.
It is among the elements. It is among the considerations. But look, putting up a ton of numbers for a bad team, we see it all the time. It doesn't mean that he's not talented. Doesn't mean that it's not impressive. It's just that what LaMelo has done to impact winning on a team that's making the playoffs is more impressive. And I think he elevates his team. He makes his teammates better with his playmaking. I don't think you can say that for Anthony Edwards.
LaMelo, I do think, is the better player, certainly at this point. But I'm going with Edwards because of the games missed. I mean, they won at a similar rate when Melo was out. But it'll be interesting because I think a lot of people feel the way you do, Howard. But I got Melo second to Edwards. But how do you feel about the play-in? We heard LeBron's comments. We've heard Mark Cuban and Luka Doncic say they don't like it. I love it. I think it's fun. Some people can argue, yeah, it's not, you know, maybe it's not fair. You don't need it. But I do think it adds excitement. I think these last weeks, Howard, you and I have covered the league for a long time. We know the last few weeks are usually garbage. And they've actually been pretty good this year because teams are still playing for something. Where are you at on the play-in?
I mean, you guys know me. I'm not prone to hyperbole or absolutist type of statements, but I'm just going to say this. There is nothing bad about the play-in. There's no good argument against it. None. Zero. It's great all the way around. We've had a much more competitive and interesting season down the stretch where normally a bunch of teams would have pulled the plug, given up, played the kids and sat the veterans and pretended it was about development when really it was just about tanking, or, you know, just lost interest. And then the fan bases lose interest as well. And there's just a bunch of really crappy games. And the last month of the NBA season can be just kind of a joke in that way. Instead, what we've got is, you know, most of the league was still competing all the way down the stretch. And you've got teams motivated. You know, the teams that are complaining about the play-in, the Mavericks, the Lakers, that's because they don't want to finish seventh. Well, great. Right. Now they're motivated to actually try to move up. You know, it's good to have the teams, even the ones that are going to finish in the top eight, have motivation to, if you're fifth, try to get to fourth for home court. If you're seventh, try to get to sixth to avoid the play-in. And again, if you're 11th or 12th or 13th, try to get to 10th. Like, we've got incentives all throughout the standings there. And if somebody's complaint is, well, what happens if some team just caught fire down the stretch and now you've got a 35-win team in like a normal season, making the playoffs instead of the eighth seeded? I don't care. If it's the difference between a 42-win team and a 35-win team, first of all, seventh and eighth seeds are cannon fodder anyway. Secondly, I'd rather have the team that was playing better at the end than the team that just built up a big buffer early on.
You say that now, and nice. If LeBron gets knocked out in the play-in game, you guys will be screaming to the high heavens.
No.
Yes, yes, no. People will. Yes, they will. They'll be. They'll rethink it. If LeBron gets knocked out or something like that, it'll change the way people look at it. I'm telling you,
it will be.
They'll be like, we got cheated. How did we get?
It will be unfortunate. It would be unfortunate, but you know what? If he's going to get knocked out in a couple of play-in games, then maybe the Lakers weren't going to get out of the first round anyway.
And here's the other part, Howard, I have a problem with. What's the regular season for? It just put everybody in the playoffs if you want them to play the season out and make them play for something at the end. Put everybody in the playoffs if this is your magic formula. It doesn't make sense. Already 16 of the 30, more than half the league already makes the playoffs. The first round, normally you have 4-0 blowouts. 8 playing one often. So what? Why are we romanticizing that there's going to be something different because you let teams that are under 500 who haven't played well all year in the playoffs so that they can get in the eighth seed and then get blown out by the one seed? How in the world is that going to be any good?
The eighth seed almost always gets blown out by the one seed anyway. So what's the difference between having it be the team that
was
10th in the regular
season? Now we're going to put a 10th seed who was even worse than the eighth seed. And it's
not
competitive.
Not necessarily. The Washington Wizards, who could possibly emerge from the play-in this year, are a classic team of got screwed over by injuries or just messed up by injuries and COVID in this case. Early in the season, we knew they were better than what their record suggested. And once they got whole and had some time together, they've been on fire, and they're actually peaking at the right time. I'd rather see them than potentially some other teams that would be there otherwise. Also, by the way, you're making my argument for me, Rob. 16 of 30 were already making the playoffs, so there already was a pretty low bar to entry. So changing it so that the 9th or 10th team might have a chance to finish 8th instead is not that big of a deal. And besides that, historically we know there's a 99% chance that the 1 and 2 seeds are winning their first round series anyway. So it really doesn't matter. It's all of this is really not about who wins in the first round, because we don't see upsets in the NBA in the first round. It's really about, what do you do about the last month of the regular season? And this has teams playing harder.
Howard, I'm glad you brought up Washington. Russell Westbrook, most people feel like he does not get the respect that he deserves for a guy that's averaged a triple-double now for 4 seasons. Where are you at on Westbrook? Like, how do you just summarize who he is, his career, you know, as a player and his career?
Before I answer that question, I'm going to pull a Jeff Van Gundy and say I don't understand something. He likes saying that a lot. I don't understand how people can say that Russell Westbrook doesn't get respected. Dude was MVP a few years ago.
Right.
See,
thank
that's
you.
Why I said most people. Here's what I've said, Howard. I said that very same thing on some shows because he's got the MVP and he's made, 9 All-NBA teams. I think the only thing he doesn't get the respect that's reserved for champions. That's it.
Because he's not. Yeah,
right.
Because he's not. So, listen, there are different categories of greatness, and there's no question he's going to be in the Hall of Fame. There's no question he has done things that we have never, ever in our lives see any NBA player do. And most of us didn't see Oscar Robertson play, and he's also, you know, eclipsed what Oscar did because he's done it a bazillion times over now. So, look, is he great? Yeah. Is he talented? Is he ferocious? Is he intense? Is he a competitor the likes of which we rarely see? Like, all of that is true, and he's also an incredibly entertaining player besides. But did he win a playoff series after Kevin Durant left Oklahoma? No. And does that matter? Yes, I think it does. And I know, you know, people like to look back and say, oh, he had such a, you know, terrible team around him. This is how we judge everybody. Tracy McGrady had to deal with the burden of never having gotten out of the first round for his entire career. And did that color the way we saw Tracy McGrady? And was that coloring the discussion around him at the time? Yeah, it did. And so, like, that's just the price you pay if you're a great player. If you cannot uplift your team, if the stats don't translate into wins at the highest level, if the postseason record is not what is expected of a superstar, then you pay the price for it, and it's part of your resume also. All of it is fair, the criticism and the praise.
That's our man, Howard Beck, Sports Illustrated senior NBA writer. Great stuff,
man. You
got
me worked up tonight, Howard, on a Friday
you
night.
You see what I deal with every night, Howard. Nah, great stuff, man. Have a good
weekend. Buddy. Appreciate it.
Catch him on the Crossover Podcast. He's the host. We'll see you, buddy. All right, it's the iCouple. We got Tyshirt's Tower of Trivia next.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time for Tyshirt's Tower of Trivia.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, vegans and meat eaters, kale chip lovers, ruffle chip lovers, it's time.
This game is so easy.
For Tyshirt's Tower of Trivia.
That's right, Tyshirt's Tower of Trivia, the segment that proves you don't even gotta like sports to work in sports media. Headlined by the superstar himself, the head of Weave Nation, our resident DJ, Alex Tyshirt.
And Chris Broussard.
How many people are in Weeb Nation?
There's actually a
What's the population of Weeb Nation?
I'd say give or take like a couple thousand.
All right.
If you, hey, Alex, if you called it Weed Nation, it would be even more.
You think so?
Yes.
They might forget about the show, though.
They probably would, right. But they would be hungry for Doritos afterwards.
Right. All right, let's do this.
Let's go. You know how this segment works. Chris and Rob going head-to-head to help Alex guess these sports trivia questions using only one-word clues. And with the Hall of Fame induction ceremony tomorrow, all of these questions are Hall of Fame related. So let's get to it. I flipped the coin during the update. Rob Parker gets the crack at question number one. Rob, folks know him on the streets as the logo, but this former Lakers government name is Jerry Blank.
East?
West.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Why are you biting my style?
What?
Yo,
bite
good
my
clue.
Style.
You don't have a patent on that or trademark.
That was a good clue.
Tone is mine.
Influx?
All right.
All right, here we go. We move
good
on.
Job, Rob.
Question number two.
I got acid influx. Oh, I'm
over to Chris Broussard. Chris, in the 98 final, Scottie Pippen threw Karl Malone through a loop when he told him, quote, the blank doesn't deliver on Sundays, which was a play on Malone's nickname.
Milkman?
Mailman.
That is
there
correct.
It is.
Let's
That's
go.
How you do it. That's Let's the influx.
Go.
All right.
Nice job, Steve.
Here we go. All tied up. 10 points apiece. Tyshirt's Tower of Trivia with the iCouple.
This game's easy.
Question number three. Rob Parker, Yao, got into the Hall of Fame mostly because of his role in the globalization of the sport and its explosion in China. But when he did play in the NBA, he played for the Houston blank.
Missiles?
Rockets.
That is correct.
Yeah.
Let's go, Rob.
You guys are getting good at this game.
You guys get me. Only took like 20 games.
That's all right. Level number four. Back to Chris Broussard. We got a perfect game going so
Let's
far.
Let's go.
Chris, Kobe Bryant played his entire career with the Lakers, but he was actually drafted by the Charlotte blank.
Bees?
Hornets.
Yeah!
That is correct.
Yes!
That was terrible.
Y'all get me.
Hornets. Oh my
really?
God.
All right, now you
that
know it gets
to
tougher
me.
The higher we get up the tower.
It's tougher than this?
I don't want to brag, but the last two questions are freaking impossible.
Oh, gosh.
But here we go. Level number five. Back to Rob Parker. Steve Nash coaches the Brooklyn Nets these days, but he played for several teams during his career, winning two MVPs for the blank Suns.
Oh, gosh.
Arizona?
Arizona.
What's the team name again, Rob?
One word,
Rob,
clue, please.
One
Rob
word.
Parker.
He should get docked the point.
Five, four.
I'm drawing a blank, Rob.
Three.
Apologies.
Two. One. Oh, okay.
Right,
Chris,
here
chance
we go
to steal. The perfect game is over. Damn. 9 points, Chris, if you can get this one.
I can still get a no-hitter, though, right?
All right, here we go.
What?
I don't know.
Scottsdale.
I don't think that's going to help him any more
than
the last one.
That's not. I'm just
the thing is, you got to put yourself in the mind of a weeb.
That's what I need.
That's the problem.
A young
Stop.
Alex.
Yo, now you're giving all these other clues, see?
Yeah, you see, Rob?
No, what I'm saying is you got to think the way Alex thinks, not the way you
Five,
guys think.
Four,
we just ran through.
Three.
Nice.
All right, okay. Is Rob going
right, Rob,
I need
one
help.
More?
Here
Eight
we
points,
go.
Rob.
I need help,
Eight
Rob.
Points
Here
if you
we
get
go.
This one.
This is so easy.
Don't
just
give me
think
the extra
about,
clues.
Think about what
Rob,
we are.
Rob, you get one word.
I got them written down. I got them written down.
Here we go.
I'm ready.
River.
River. Oh my gosh.
Red Jordan.
Oh my gosh. Hold on. Where's he from? Oh no.
Just see the scribbling going on in his paper right now.
I'm trying to remember. Marty and.
Five.
Oh
four,
no. Rob, I need more time.
Three.
Do I get more time?
Two. One.
You're on the wrong track. Anyway.
Okay.
Hold on.
Chris Broussard, last chance to steal 7 points if you get this one. Think. 7 points.
All right. Barkley.
That's a worse clue than the last one.
That's terrible.
Okay.
That's terrible. Mine was
Griffin was really good.
I don't think this
that's,
is.
That's better than Barkley going
one.
The way that Alex thinks.
No, that's right. A great one. I'm trying to.
Who did he play for?
I'm just. Guys, I'm right. Sorry again. This is probably wrong. I'm just going to guess and say Phoenix.
That is correct.
No, you're kidding me.
That's terrible. Come on. Offer
it. No, hold on.
I told y'all got to think. See, I'm on that extra level. That's right. I gave him the city, then
on,
I gave him the player. Rob's talking about some actor that nobody knows.
Hey, River Phoenix is a big deal.
Oh,
you
that's
him
I was thinking
Marty
in Kentucky. Yeah,
no,
that's what I was
thinking. River Phoenix.
What if after he said Arizona, you said Bird?
Oh, then Phoenix.
See, exactly. Come on, guys. Think like a Weeb Nation thinks, guys.
But my only thing is, when you're thinking about teams, Alex, how come you're not thinking about cities?
I'm terrible with that stuff, Rob.
All right, let's keep it up.
Disappointed he is.
I'm actually giving Rob another shot.
All right,
let's go.
Here we go. Chris Broussard, you're up first on this one. Charles Barkley, you brought up Chuck. One of the great nicknames in NBA history. Back in the day, they used to call him the round mound of blank.
Bored.
You said bored?
Yeah.
Flat.
Incorrect. Rob, if you get this one, you steal. You get the win. If not, Chris Broussard gets it because you only got 7 points last round.
That's right.
This is 9. Rob, if you get this, you win. If you don't, Chris gets the win. One word clue, the round mound of blank.
What was Chris's clue again, Rob G?
It doesn't matter.
I can't ask the judge, though.
Wow.
His
wow.
clue was bored.
Don't try to play off my clue, Rob. Sometime tonight, please.
Okay, here we go.
We got a break to get.
Got 5 seconds.
All right. I need a clue. I'm ready.
Four.
Rob.
Grab.
Grab. Board. Rebound.
Yeah!
Oh, Rob!
He knew it all along.
Let's go.
There's no. You got that.
How did
from
I know
grab?
That?
How do I not get half of that? He said
you don't
he
get
used
that.
My
what do you
clue.
Mean? How did he get? How did he get from what? What did you
Y'all
say?
Gave
Barkley
my
clue.
Four
what
times.
Was that clue? Thank
Phoenix,
you.
Barkley.
Play
Turn
my music.
That music off.
Play my music.
Rob Parker.
My chest is stuck out.
It's been 7 weeks since he won, so congratulations,
yeah,
Rob.
Yeah, right. Who's keeping score with for you?
More Odd Couple coming your way, Fox Sports Radio.
Hopefully that's the only thing sticking out, Rob.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Oh, yeah. This is classic. Way back.
Man.
Now, that's going way back, Rob. We just need to let that breathe, right?
Yes. Chris, you remember this. You danced to this at your prom.
My father might have danced to it at his prom. I'll tell you that. All right. It is the Odd Couple wrapping up a funky flashback Friday. DJ Alex Teichert is in those crates. I think that's about as deep as you've ever gone in the crates, Rob.
Chris, I can't
Alex.
Get out.
I love it. All right. We're going to wrap it up with a little NFL. Rob G, I'm sure this is not going to make Rob P happy, but tell us a little something about what's going on in New England.
That's right. Our good friend Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, he did some deep dive into that upcoming Tom Brady return game to New England next season in week 4. Now, get this. According to multiple ticket brokers across the country, when the first was announced when they were playing, ticket prices range between $1,400 and $1,500 per ticket. That would be the cheapest ticket to just to get in, to sit in the nosebleeds and not be able to see what's happening. $1,500. Well, since
what
then,
moron would give up $1,400 for that?
Well, Rob, I'm glad you brought that up because obviously that was too high. And the price dropped by last night. Only $1,100 now for a get in, which even then would be the most expensive ticket in NFL regular season history.
I think people are mashugana. In this economy, spending that kind of money, I don't know. To sit in the nosebleeds, $1,100? If you told me I had the great seats at the 50-yard line for a regular season game, $1,100? No way, no how would I ever dig in my pocket. The only game I would ever, if I was like a Chicago Cubs fan before they finally won the World Series and I was 80 years old and I never saw my team win and I had a chance to go to a World Series game and see the Cubs win, I'd pay almost anything. Other than that, I'm not doing it.
He's the GOAT. He's returning to the scene of his 6 Super Bowls. They still love him up in Beantown. He is going to take over that stadium, I tell you. Sure, they're going to cheer for their New England Patriots and Bill Belichick. But they will also be cheering every touchdown that Tom Brady throws.
You know you didn't hear Chris say he dig in his pocket for Tom Brady.
They love him up
He wouldn't
there.
Even pick Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. That's how much he loves
but
him.
But I picked him to get there, unlike somebody I know.
But he wouldn't even pick him. He's the GOAT. He's the GOAT,
you
but I'm not going to pick him to win. That doesn't even
you
make
haven't picked
sense
him
to
since
me.
2012. I mean, come on.
You're talking
on.
About your pick. He's the GOAT, but you voted, but you bet against
I've
him.
I picked the winner of the Super Bowl 2 of the last 3 years.
No, I'm just
how
asking
about that?
You. I'm just saying, he's the GOAT, but you pick somebody
yeah,
to beat him.
Yeah, but that
Does
doesn't
that
mean
sense?
He's going
to
win.
How
yes,
is he the GOAT
Rob,
then?
Stop
he
it.
He ain't no GOAT.
That doesn't even
he
make
no
sense. Because
no,
I said Patrick Mahomes
sense.
Could be the GOAT. If he's 43 years old and he's still
it
getting
doesn't
it done,
matter.
And
you
the
said
GOAT
he's the
doesn't
GOAT.
Win every year. Michael Jordan didn't win every year.
You picked him to win. He's the GOAT, and then you
Barry
didn't pick
Bonds
him in the Super
never
Bowl.
Never won. Hank Aaron didn't win every year.
Hank Aaron won in Milwaukee.
So don't tell me GOATs win every year. That logic makes absolutely no sense.
I didn't say they win
you
every year, but you
him.
Wouldn't even pick him.
No,
you,
I didn't pick him to win last
he's
year.
He's a fraudulent GOAT. He ain't no GOAT.
I picked
GOAT.
Him to win
you
two,
would never
three
bet
years
against
ago,
Michael
though.
Jordan.
Really?
Yeah,
I bet
wouldn't.
Against Michael Jordan plenty
when?
Of times.
When?
Before he won. He only won. He didn't start winning until his 7th year.
Chris, I'm going to go back through your
you
pick.
You can't win
I'm not
this argument.
It. I'm not buying it. He's the ultimate
flip-flop on a
Friday.
Pull the money out of your pockets, Boston. The GOAT is coming to town. He's back. Peace.